What's up, guys? Thanks for coming to our Kaafa and Miss You podcast. Here, you will find resources to help you grow in real devotion, real community, and real responsibility, so you can learn to love Jesus, not just for a season, but for a lifetime. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
Okay. Jesus, thank you so much because you're here and you're ready to talk to us and you're ready to just be with us, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to have hearts that are willing to really hear what you're having to say to us tonight. Help us to just examine ourselves and be honest with ourselves, and to just desire to be your friend. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, so for the past few weeks, we've been going through a series called Our Relinquish, just talking about how God is so worthy of our lives, and we've been hearing about how he's worthy of giving everything up for him. And we've heard stories, many different stories of people who have done this, and many different ways in which you can do this. And I just think it's so important to just realize how worthy he is of our lives. Actually, a little bit about myself. I grew up in a Christian home, and I called myself a Christian, but I never really viewed God in this way of being so worthy of laying my life down for. But when I did, when I realized just how big he was, it changed everything for me. When I just realized that he's the creator of everything, of me, of this whole universe, and how could a God like that love me? And he does. And just simply because of that, I decided that he was worthy of being obeyed, you know? So we're gonna talk about, we're gonna look at a story in the Bible about some men who wanted to be followers of Jesus, but ultimately they didn't follow him. And we're gonna see what happened. We're gonna read Luke 9:57-62, and Chris is gonna read that for us.
Yeah.
Oh yeah!
As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to it is fitted for the kingdom of God."
Woo! Okay, so in this story, we have different people who are given the opportunity to follow Jesus. And in all of these cases, there's something that stops them from actually following him. So we're going to walk through all of the reasons and see what we can learn. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll start with guy number one. As they were going along the road, they don't have names, so I'm just going to call them 1, 2, 3. So as it says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So, guy number one asked Jesus if he could follow him. And Jesus, being all-knowing, gets the sense that this man doesn't really know what he's asking for. So, Jesus, being the honest man that he is, lets the man know what he's asking for. He lets him know that it will not be a life of fame or glory. This man had most likely seen Jesus' miracles, or at least heard of them. Jesus was the talk of the town. Everyone knew what he was up to. And he was getting all this attention. So much that Jesus had to regularly go up to a mountain or something to get away from people, and he didn't always succeed. They would still find him. And so this man, he had this idea of who Jesus was, and he wanted to follow him because of this image or idea that he had. But Jesus quickly let him know that his way is not what you would expect. What you would expect from such a well-known and much-requested man would be that he has, like, some moolah on him, like, something, at least, like, a nice house, something to, like, rent, somewhere to stay where he went. But he didn't. Jesus told this man, I don't even have a house. He would just, like, show up and see what happened, basically. He didn't carry anything with him. He just went. Everything in God's kingdom is opposite of what our nature tells us or what we would expect. You would think that Jesus, being a king, would have luxury and riches. Yet, he was born of a virgin in a manger, in an inn, because no one else wanted to let him into their home. He worked for 30 years as a carpenter in a small town, and traveled around with no place to lay his head. You see, Jesus was not worried about what he would eat, where he would stay. He just went where the Father asked him to go and trusted that he would be taken care of. What Jesus was trying to tell, guy number one, was that following Jesus requires trust and sacrifice. Yeah. Jesus trusted that him and his disciples would be taken care of wherever they went. So he laid down the comforts of a home. It's nice to have a home, to know where you're going to stay, but that's not what Jesus was worried about. If we want to follow Jesus, that is, if we want to learn his way of living, we must also relinquish our desire for comfort and learn to trust God. Yeah. There are a million things that we could worry about. Maybe you do worry about where you're going to live. I know a lot of people are like house hunting right now for somewhere to rent. Or maybe you worry about getting a job, passing your classes, you name it. There are things to worry about. But if you're going to follow Jesus, you must know that he doesn't promise an easy life, but he does promise that he'll be with you and you will be taken care of. Yeah. In whatever way you need to be taken care of. In Luke 12, 29 through 34, it says, "And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, guy number one in the story was not willing to give up the roof over his head. And this might seem materialistic, but it was his comfort, his treasure, and he was not willing to give it up. But this man's excuse was about more than just a place to stay. There's a heart behind everything we do, right? It was about his desire for status or for comfort or stability. He thought Jesus had these things when in reality, Jesus only had what he needed. Nothing more and nothing less. If we want to follow Jesus, we must be willing to give up our own desires for success and stability. This makes me think of people like my friends Kenna and Alexis, who are about to do the Chi Alpha internship next year. They're both getting an engineering degree, which is really hard and they worked so hard for, and they could probably find really great jobs that pay like good amounts of money, but Jesus called them to give a year and pray about a lifetime in ministry, and they obeyed. And not only people who do that, but we even have people who have graduated and go into ministry, they don't go into ministry, but they're still obeying God because they maybe do get jobs that pay a lot of money and they give that up. They give it to missionaries and they give it to people in need. And that is also like dying to their desire for success and money, right? And it's really awesome. No matter your situation, God wants you to be willing to give up your desire for comfort and stability and learn to trust him. Following Jesus means okay with taking the lowest place and not seeking riches or recognition. He says in Mark 9:35, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And Jesus never said anything that he didn't live out himself. Like, he said, don't worry about where you're going to eat, where you're going to stay, because he didn't either. And he says, the first must be the last and servant of all, and that's what he was. He came to serve people. Do you find comfort in knowing what your future will look like? Or knowing that what you're striving for right now is going to pay off someday? What if it doesn't? What if God asks you to give that up? Would you be willing to? The first guy in our story was too quick to follow Jesus without counting the cost. But now we're going to move on to guy number two, who was too slow to follow Jesus. Let me explain. Jesus tells guy number two to follow him. And this guy's response was, I will follow you, but first, let me go bury my father. And Jesus tells him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, at first glance, this sounds harsh. It sounds like maybe this guy's dad had just died and Jesus is telling him that it doesn't matter. But what's really going on here is that this guy's dad is very much alive, and he's telling Jesus that he will follow him after his dad dies, which could be the next day, or it could be years from then. Basically, this guy was telling Jesus, I will follow you, but just not yet. Just think about it. If his dad had just died, he wouldn't be out there. He would be mourning his dad with his family. But this was not the case. He was out listening to Jesus. And once Jesus asks him to leave everything and follow him, he says, well, I would love to, but I need to stay home. But once I bury my dad, I'll go. I'll be free then. And that makes me just wonder, if this man can't follow Jesus while his father is alive, what's going to change when his dad does die? Then his excuse will be that he needs to stay home and take care of his mom, I imagine. We will always be able to find a reason to wait, to put it off. Yeah. If you guys are here last week, Justin was talking about how Jesus has commanded us to make disciples, and sometimes we make excuses for that. But Jesus tells this man that his excuse is not valid, and he tells him, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Can you think of a reason why you have been waiting to really commit to following Jesus and making disciples? There will always be more schoolwork to be done, more duties with your family, more commitments you can choose to say yes or no to. You don't have to do everything. One of the biggest commitments that people can make in their lives is who they're going to marry. I have a friend who was dating a guy, and they had been dating for about 5 years or more. And one time I asked her if she thought that she would marry this guy. And her face lit up, and she said, yes, I want to marry him. But then her eyes dimmed as she explained to me that he didn't want to yet. And he said it was because he wanted to make sure that they had enough money to have a big and extravagant wedding. And it sounded like a good reason to her. She did want a big and extravagant wedding. But eventually they broke up, and she told me, I thought I was going to marry him, and I believed his reason for waiting. But now I realize that he was just not willing to commit. Like, a wedding is just one day, but he used that as his reason. And it wasn't actually the reason. And that's a hard thing to realize, to come to terms with, but it was the truth. And it's the same situation with guy number two in our story. He said he wanted to follow Jesus, but he wasn't willing to commit quite yet. Jesus is asking you to follow him. Is there anything that you think you need to do or be or accomplish before you can commit to following him and making disciples? Once my classes aren't so difficult, once I graduate, once I get through this rough patch. The truth is that if you just don't want to, there will always be something else to fill your time. There's a million things you could do with your time if you just want to avoid it. If you say you're waiting until you graduate, when you have more time, then you're going to graduate and get a job, and then you won't have time because of that. And then you'll get married and have have kids and you won't have time because of that. And it'll just be a cycle that there's just an excuse after excuse. The longer you wait to say yes to Jesus, the harder it will be to say yes to him eventually. You will keep putting it off longer and longer. Like, I don't know if you guys ever like want to do something, but you know that if you wait, you're just gonna keep putting it off. There's a lot of times where you just have to make a choice right then and there, because then you'll just keep thinking about it more and more and more, and you'll just be stuck. So what are you waiting for? Will it ever be enough? Will your life ever be in a place where you say, okay, now I'm ready? If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to make disciples, and if you want to be closer to him, there's no point in waiting. There will never be a right time. Jesus shouldn't just be another thing on your to-do list that you'll get to eventually. He should be interwoven into every part of your life. The source of your life, not just an add-on to it. And like I said before, following Jesus requires trust. Trusting that he's better than whatever it is you need to say no to in order to say yes to him. Every yes that you say means saying no to something else. I said yes, and you said yes to being here today, so you couldn't be out doing something else. That's just how it works. So now let's look at guy number 3. He says to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me say farewell to those at my home. This man's excuse was pretty similar to the previous guy. They both said, I will follow you, but first, let me this and that. Our last guy gave Jesus a vague timeline of when he would be able to follow him. But this guy knew exactly what he wanted to do before fully committing. He just wanted to go back home and say bye to his family. But the thing is that Jesus was asking him to follow him right then and there. If we compare this man's response to the response of the disciples, we can see a stark contrast. When Peter was asked to follow Jesus, he left everything and followed him. No delay, no excuse, only obedience. I think the only thing he did was he like went and put his boat on the shore, and then he left everything and followed him. The problem wasn't that this man loved his family and wanted to say bye. The problem was that Jesus was inviting him to go forward with him, and this man was wanting to go back first. This is why Jesus' response to him was that someone who looks back after saying yes is not fit for his kingdom. Sometimes for us, it's hard to let go of our past lifestyles, past friendships, habits, even our past hurts. If we look back to say our goodbyes to these things, we might be tempted to stay. If this man went home and said goodbye to his family, they might have tried to convince him to stay, told him he was crazy or something. Therefore, he would be disobeying God. And this is probably what happened, since we don't hear about him ever again. There's an old dead guy named Charles Spurgeon.
Let's go.
And one time he said, oh, young man, when you are thinking of leaving the world, be afraid of these farewells. They have been the ruin of hundreds of hopeful people. They have been almost persuaded, but they have gone to their old companions just to give them the last kiss and the last shake of the hand, and we have not seen anything more of them. That is, it's, yeah. The quote is good, but the reality is not. It's sad.
Yeah,
and I've seen this happen. Jesus told this man, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'll have to explain to you what this means, because it was in context for like what the people did. It was all of his like stories were having to do with agriculture, because that's what people knew about. But so in the literal sense, a plowman, in order to make a straight line, so they would make the straight line to turn the soil and make room for new seeds, and they had to make a straight line, and so they would have to be looking at something in the distance to kind of be their marker for what where a straight line was. But if instead of doing that, they looked back at the line in order to like make sure they're going straight, that's not going to work, you know. And so that's why Jesus said this. If that's how a plowman tried to make his line by looking back, he wouldn't be fit for the job. If you're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to leave our old lives behind. No looking back at what once was and dreaming about it as if it were better than what is in front of you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." God wants to make us new, but he can't do that if we're constantly looking back or not letting go of the things that separate us from him. Is there something in your life that you keep running back to, making it difficult for you to really follow Jesus? This could be anything. It could be a thing, a person. Earlier in this chapter of Luke that we've been reading from, Luke 9, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." That's Luke 9:23. Jesus is saying here that this is a daily thing. We have to choose him every day and die to our excuses every day. Yeah. It can be so easy to make the decision, but still be holding on to our own desires. Because if it costs you nothing, it will change nothing. You can say that you want to follow him, like these men, they said, I will follow you, but first, this and that. And I can give an example that I thought of how this principle works, that if it costs you nothing, it will change nothing. I'm sure there's some people in this room who are here at NMSU thanks to the lottery scholarship. If you're here, because of that reason, you know that the first semester wasn't free. There might have been some scholarships that cover that for you, but the lottery scholarship itself only kicks in semester two. And that's because you have to show that you can keep a 2.5 GPA, you can take 15 credit hours, and you're like willing to put in at least some of the money to be here. And I think it's because of that, you know, you have to show. It can't be completely free, although now it will be completely free and the standards are pretty low, and I think it's cool. Like, it's gonna, if you guys have heard, there's like a new scholarship that's available to anybody to come to college in New Mexico. But I just wonder, like, if it's gonna affect the dropout rates or anything, because it's gonna cost less, you know, less like buy-in. If it costs you nothing to follow Jesus, it will change nothing. Jesus made it clear to these three men that there is a cost to following him. He wasn't going to sugarcoat it or not tell them what they were getting into. And all three of these men had different excuses, but the answer to them all was the same: to deny themselves daily and follow him. There's a missionary from India named Sadhu Sundar Singh, and he says, "It is easy to die for Christ. It is hard to live for him. Dying takes only an hour or two, but to live for Christ means to die daily." It may seem daunting to hear that you need to deny yourself and die to yourself, your own desires. But although there is this great cost, following Jesus really, honestly, is the best choice you will ever make, if you make the choice. A life following Jesus is a life of freedom, of peace, of joy. I really can't even explain it more than with those words. But once you experience his forgiveness, nothing else compares to it. We should be able to give those things up willingly and gladly, because we're giving them up in exchange for something significantly better, which is friendship with God. For example, if someone were to come up to me and tell me that they would trade my little Kia Soul, I love my Kia Soul, my car. I don't know if Elizabeth is in the room, but she told me it was ugly one time. And I was like, okay, I love my car. I really do. But if they told me, if you give me your car, I will give you a Tesla, would I take the offer? I think I would. But I don't, like, what if I said, okay, but first let me go talk to my husband about it and see what he thinks. Or, okay, but first let me take my car for one last joyride. That would be foolish of me. I would just say yes, no hesitation. Although I do love my car, what I'd be getting in exchange has a lot more value. And what's more valuable than friendship with God? Nothing.
True.
Nothing is better than friendship with Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's such a big deal that we can have friendship with God. And if you want this, if you want friendship with Him, what's stopping you? We need to understand that it's such a big deal that Jesus extends His friendship to us, because we don't deserve it. Our reaction to Jesus should be like Peter's reaction to Jesus. If you read in Luke 5, Jesus does a miracle with Peter. He puts a bunch of fish into his net. And it says in Luke 5:10, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Peter knew how unworthy he was of being in God's presence. I don't know if you guys remember from last week, but Justin talked to us about how when Moses encountered God in the burning bush, God had to tell him to not come any closer because Moses was not holy enough to be close to God. And this happens a lot of times throughout the Bible. And we are also not holy enough to be close to God. We have hurt God by our disobedience, by our sins. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would convict us of our sin. Yet here is Jesus, God in human form, telling Peter, I'm reading verse 10, says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Here is a man with no excuse, because he knew the value of Jesus. He was giving up his livelihood as a fisherman to follow someone who is so much more valuable and worthy of following. And our response to Jesus should be the same. We must realize how unworthy we are to even be close to him, and then realize what a big deal it is that we get to be close to him and we get to have a friendship with him. We, being sinful, deserve to be separated from God forever. Yet he loved us so much that he made a way for us to know him intimately. And that way was through Jesus, through his life, because he, being God himself, left his throne and came and lived humbly among his people, teaching us how to follow God and extending his friendship to us. And through his death, by dying an innocent death that he did not deserve, he was able to pay for our punishment that we did deserve. And through his resurrection, he proved his power over the same death that separated us from him.
Let's go.
So my question for you tonight is, will you follow Jesus? Will you accept his offer of friendship to you? If your answer is yes, first, I want you to count the cost. Write down whatever it is you need to die to in order to follow him. What do you need to give up in order to fully commit to Jesus and not look back? Did you have any of these similar excuses that these men in the story had? Or any others? Ask God. Ask him and he'll tell you. Once you've counted the cost and really counted it, I want you to demonstrate this commitment by coming up and taking communion. The word communion means the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. It comes from the words common and union. And communion is a symbolism, a way to remember Jesus' death and to have fellowship with him. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, it says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ?" When we do this, we're telling Jesus that we are following him and therefore choosing to die to ourselves. So if you are ready to do this, after you've counted the cost, come up, take your bread and dip it, and communion with the Lord.